The lady with the voice, Shimmer Johnson, meets with the antidote. Shimmer, this is a pleasure.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show.
First things first, I have to know, is Shimmer your stage name? I mean, it's perfect.
It is my stage name. I actually came up with Shimmer years ago. We were going to have a cover band and we were going to call it Shimmer. And then we ended up not doing that cover band. And when I was thinking of a stage name to release, I was like, well, why don't we just use Shimmer? And then my last name is Johnson, so Shimmer Johnson. And it just kind of stuck, and I've had it for years now. And my original name is really cool. It's just really hard to spell, and everybody always says it wrong. So I was like, Shimmer's way easier, and everybody will remember that.
Is Shimmer also your personality?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I like to shimmer in anything I do with my music, so it's perfect for me.
Now, I always like to ask an artist about their beginnings, so now it's your turn, Shimmer.
Okay.
When did you first get involved in music?
Since I was little, my family is very musically inclined. My brother Jerry sings, I sing. My father used to be in a country band. And he sings, and he still sings to this day and performs at old age homes and a whole bunch of other stuff. And so music's kind of been surrounded my entire life since I was 2 or 3 years old. When I was about 16, 17, I joined a country band in Branson, Missouri, because that's where I lived for a while. I lived in Branson with my dad. And I used to sing with the Osmonds, second generation. I was really good friends with Scott, and we sang in choir together in Branson. So I learned all of my harmonies and melodies just from singing in choir from school. And then I was also in the country band on the weekends because I was only 16, and that was the only way you can get into the bars in the States is if you were performing
right.
or a DJ. And then you had to have a waiver signed from your father or mother to be able to go in and perform. So I used to do that. And then I moved back home when I was 18, and I got into a cover rock band doing lots of No Doubt and, you know, Alanis Morissette and Tori Amos and all that stuff. And then I even went into an R&B girl group back then when everybody was into that thing. And yeah, so I was part of a little girl group called Genie. And then at 21, I ended up meeting my producer, which is now my husband. And we started writing music, and we just kept going. We have country stuff, pop stuff, rock. And just the last 2 years, I started top lining for EDM DJs all around the world. So I jump around in genres, and I like to do it because it's fun.
That's wild. It certainly keeps you on your toes, being able mm-hmm. to be involved in all those things.
Yeah.
I went for a bit of a hunt, and the oldest song of yours that I could find was from 2019. You released a few versions of the song Breaking, but
yes.
The one that really grabbed me was the acoustic mix.
The original.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, the acoustic mix is the original. I just sat on a piano and wrote it. Yeah, so the original is just literally a voice and piano. And then I sent it off to some producers in the UK, and they made, I can't remember, 7 or 8 different mixes. And it ended up number 8 on the Music Weekly charts in the UK. So I was up there with like Pink and all of them for about 3 weeks. It was really cool.
Wow.
And yeah, so Breaking did really, really well for me. And I was so blessed because I don't play a lot of piano. My husband is the one that does most of the music. I play mm-hmm. a little bit of piano. I play piano by ear, so I have no idea what I'm playing. I can play good enough to play what's inside my brain. And yeah, Breaking was one of the songs that I did that with.
I do love that song. I mean, it's dreamy, it's soft, but yeah. It's also sad.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then it finishes with this line, "My soul is worth saving. Don't go. My heart's aching. Don't go. Don't leave me breaking." So you got to tell me, like, are you usually melancholic?
Oh, yeah. I write from emotional aspects of things. So almost like an empath, I can feel everybody's emotions and my own. And when I'm watching like TV shows, I'll watch this really sad show and then I'll go right in the recording studio and then it'll be like this bizarre, really sad. I'm really not that sad, but I tend to write very melancholy, and that's just how I've always written. I like to write about feelings and what I'm going through or what other people are going through and my take on it. And I'll put it into songs. And that's where breaking came from. I think breaking, I was talking about an ex-boyfriend from when I was really young, like 18. That song is about.
Yeah, pre-husband days.
Yes.
Well, you're not melancholic right now. You're all bright and cheery. And hopefully we both stay that way right to the end of this talk.
Oh, yes.
So you released your debut album, Inner Me, in 2021. You know, it's definitely a singer-songwriter style.
It is.
So with that album, were you wanting to use this release as a showcase?
Inner Me album has been an album I've wanted to write since I could remember. So I sat down and like You Keep Me Grounded was one of the first songs I wrote, and I wrote it all myself on piano at 3 o'clock in the morning. I come home from karaoke like 3 o'clock in the morning and this melody came into my brain and I'm like, oh my God, I have to record this now or I'm going to forget it. And I sat down and I've never done this. I don't do this very often because I don't play piano well. I play good enough to write. And I go in and I lay down this piano thing and in one take, and I'm like, whew, because it just came to my brain, right? And So laid it all down, and then the lyrics just came to me, and I'm not even kidding, in like 5 or 10 minutes. And I laid down a main vocal, and the whole song took me about 30 minutes to write. And then when I went to go back and re-sing it, I was like, no, I'm going to keep the original take. It has all the essence and everything. And so What you're listening to on the Inner Me album, Inner Me, the You Keep Me Grounded, is literally the first take. And then my husband replayed some of the piano and made it all pretty because, like I said, I'm not a piano player. And that's what it turned into. So Inner Me has just kind of been an album I wanted to write about kind of my emotional aspect of my life and what I've gone through and been through. So it's all piano, some guitar, I had lots of my friends write on it and play on it, which was nice. Candle, I got my friend Gautam. He's a phenomenal violinist. And I got him to play on that. And just basically the whole Inner Me album was just something I'd always, always wanted to do. And I was so happy when I put it out. I also added Toy Soldiers. I'm really good friends with Michael J. He's the original writer that wrote it for Martika. I believe Martika wrote part of it too, but that's another story. But
we'll just leave her out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, she just sang the song. That's all.
She sang the song. Well, she wrote it with him. But nonetheless, I'm really good friends with him, and I wanted to release my version of it. So we did a really cool acoustic version of the Toy Soldiers and added a little bit of rocky edge to it. Right. It didn't really fit on the Inner Me album, but it did. So I ended up putting it in there, and it's still one of my favorite songs to play live.
Well, tell you what, let's flip back to that song, You Keep Me Grounded.
Yeah.
Because when you and I were emailing back and forth, you said that song sort of relates to your faith.
Yeah, it does.
The song lyrics say, in my darkest days, you always showed me I'm so much stronger now, even when in doubt. Now, a lot of Christians aren't honest enough to share that they do have doubts.
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be your case.
My whole family is Catholic or Christian. Me, personally, I'm spiritual. So that line is kind of my take on religion. That's the closest Christian song I've ever written in my life. And but yeah, it's exactly how I feel and how I look at the world. And we all do have doubts, and people do have to realize that, you know, there's the self-doubt and there's all of that. And you have to be able to feel that and realize that it's okay to have those feelings, and it's okay to, what's the word, brings you closer to your own grace, I guess you could say,
right.
Then you should do that. Anytime I've had like low periods in time, there's always something that brings me out of my whatever that I'm going through, whether it's going for a nice long walk and just getting back into nature and or whatever. And if you can do that, you can get yourself out of the low mood. Basically, Inner Me is all about, you know, mental health issues and getting out of those low modes and, you know, accepting yourself for who you are and feeling all the feels. And that's pretty much my Inner Me album. And that's why I always wanted to put it out, because I literally talked about things that are inside of me that I don't share with anybody. And I did it on an entire album. So
what a way to open up your soul to everyone on the planet.
Yeah, it made me feel good when I released it, though.
Earlier on, I spoke about your voice, and I really can't get over what you're able to do. So I want to bring in another one of your vocal styles for our listeners so they can make a comparison.
Okay.
You already mentioned about the song Candle, and that comes from the Inner Me album. And yes, you use this emotional, quavering voice. So does this mean that you switch vocal style to suit a specific song?
I do. Honestly, I found my true voice when I found Lauren Daigle. She's one of my favorite artists. And she's a Christian artist.
Right.
But she made it onto mainstream with your You Say song. I listened to that album for like 3 months straight. And then I ended up writing You Keep Me Grounded and Candle pretty much back to back after listening to that album for so long. Yeah, so I used a similar style to what Lauren does for the Inner Me album, but it was really nice because I actually found my own voice after doing the Inner Me album, like the softness and being able to belt and yet not belt. And I like to switch my voice around to, like you said, suit the song that I'm singing, whether it be an acoustic song or a full pop rock song or a country song.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of grew up DJing and stuff, so I've listened to so many genres that when I write, it's all of the genres mixed together, thrown into songs. So
that's right. It's a big pot of stew.
Yes. So it just depends on what's coming out that day.
So you mentioned about Lauren Daigle. And yes, I think we're both fans of one of her albums. But you're not going to dive into the Christian music scene full time then and give her a run for her money.
No. Definitely not. Like I said, I don't go to church or anything like that. I'm very spiritual and religious, but I don't think it would be fair for me to put out a Christian album because I don't go to church and I don't do that sort of thing.
True, but of course, a lot of Christians don't go to church either.
I guess so. I'm just more spiritual. Like, my whole family is Catholic and Christian, but like, my mom never ever brought me to church. Like, I do have that. It's just, I don't know how to explain the way my faith is and my spiritualism.
I totally get that, because as a kid, when you're growing up, you sort of absorb this into your soul.
Yeah.
You know, your parents, because this is what gets spoken about.
Yeah.
So even not going to church, you still do absorb that.
Yeah. My dad is very Christian. They go to church every Sunday.
He'll be tickled that you're on this show.
That's right. But he's never, I didn't grow up with my father. My mom and my dad broke up when I was around 3 or 4. So I moved with my mom, and my mom is not religious whatsoever. So, you know, growing up, I never got to experience all of that my dad probably would have had me experience, because I do believe in the spirituality. I guess I could say I'm Christian, but I just say spiritual because I don't have a specific, you know what I mean? I don't know how to explain it.
No, I totally get where you're coming from. The thing is with your vocals is that they always seem effortless. Is singing really that easy for you?
Yeah, when I sing, I try to pull out all of the feels in my voice, in my body, and how I'm feeling. I like to put it in the song. So if I'm feeling very sad that day, you're going to get a very melancholy song. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to fill the melancholy song with a little bit of hope at the end as well, because without hope, there's really not much you know, you can believe in a song. I don't want to put people more depressed. So I write melancholy songs, but I always add that little bit of hope or change that's going to happen at some point. It's so you have something to look forward to.
Everybody gets the happy pill.
Yes. We all go through the sad and, you know, the angry and the mad and whatever. And, you know, I write best when I'm down because I'm very melancholy with the music. I tried to write happy once in a while. That does happen once in a while. You Keep Me Grounded sounds melancholy, but it's actually really happy.
So then how much of your life is spent being melancholic versus being happy?
I don't know. I'm usually a pretty happy person, but like I said, I watch lots of TV shows and, you know, talk with people, and I'm very much almost like an empath, I swear. I can feel everybody's feelings, walk into a room and I can just feel it. And that's the same with me when I'm singing. I feel everything I'm feeling and I put it in a song.
But being an empath, isn't that wearying for you?
It can be, yeah. I have days where I just kind of ignore the world and play Tetris.
You and I have been looking into your past, but now we got to get into what else you've been up to.
Okay.
So Shimmer, you jumped into the metal scene by becoming vocalist for Circle the Wolves.
Yes.
Was this your idea?
My husband is a huge rock fan, so he wanted to do rock. Originally, Circle the Wolves was my second band. My original band was with Barry Benedetta. He is the original guitarist that played on the Cinderella album from the 80s.
Mm.
And he is very religious. And our band was called De Benedetta. So if you look up De Benedetta, you can actually hear the album I did with Barry. It's called Shadows. And again, it's got lots of Christian faith stuff in it because he would help co-write lots of the guitars. And then we would sit and talk about ideas for songs. And he would give me ideas, write about this. And then I would take it and I'm like, okay, I'll write about this. So that was the first album I've ever did for rock stuff, was with Benedetta. And then COVID hit and everybody was stuck in their houses, and Barry lives in the US and I live here in Canada. We flew him up and he lived with us for about 3 months while we wrote that album.
Wow.
But he flew back, and then, like I said, COVID hit, and, he ended up getting a really bad strain of the COVID and he passed away in January. I have like hundreds and hundreds of guitar licks and stuff. So I can write another probably 4 or 5 albums of Barry Benedetta stuff when I'm ready. So, yeah. And then we needed a new guitarist and a new name because I didn't feel right going forward using De Benedetta, which is Barry's last name, for the rock stuff. So I was sitting in a bathtub with my husband. And I was like, well, we need a new name. And then I'm like, what about Circle of Wolves? He's like, nah. And then I looked, I'm like, nope, never mind. There's already somebody that is named Circle of Wolves. I'm like, what about Circle the Wolves? And then we looked it up and it wasn't there. And we're like, yeah, let's do that. And then we ended up finding Steven Johnson, which is my husband's old friend from college. And we brought him in to be the new guitarist with Circle the Wolves. So it was the all original, the Benedetta band, but just a new guitarist. And Steve, he went to Grant McEwen here in Edmonton. So it's lots of jazz and classical type style of guitar. So Corey and him would sit down and Steve would just write these awesome, cool, jazzy rock stuff. And then Corey would add the rock. And then it just turned into Circle the Wolves, which is almost metal, commercial metal, I guess you could say. But I kept the same lineup of how I talk about things and what I write about that I did with De Benedetta. And like I said, with Barry, he was very, very religious. So I kind of kept on that role and writing about feelings, and some with a religion and some a little bit of everything that I put into Circle the Wolves. And that's what you guys are hearing today.
Right. Well, it was funny because when I was reading about the band members and finding that 3 of you had the same last name, I was starting to think that Circle the Wolves was actually a family band.
Yeah, everybody says that. It just happened to be that Steve has the last name Johnson, And Corey is my husband, and then yeah, so Corey, you know, Shimmer, and yeah, we all have the same. And then we got Keith Runko, which does not match the rest of the Johnsons. And then when Keith can't play some shows, we also have Jay Rode play the drums when Keith can't do it. So we have two drummers technically for Circle of the Wolves.
That's special. Okay, Corey, does he obey your every command when you're on stage?
Yeah, he usually does the sound. We do have a bass player, Ben, that comes up on stage, but Corey is the producer behind Circle the Wolves. So he co-writes all of the songs, plus he produces it and does the final mixes and mastering of all the songs.
Right. I read the band bio, and it said that Circle the Wolves is truly a diamond in the gothic metal scene. Now, on the new album Mirror Mirror, I hear a lot of classical, melodically inspired metal.
Oh, yeah.
But zero goth.
I know. That's album 3. I think the gothic stuff was from our original album. It was heavier than album 2. And album 3 ended up being more synthy. So we just kind of change as we go when we're writing. We currently have written 9 albums for Circle of the Wolves. You guys have only heard the original Circle of the Wolves. There's 2000 Pieces album that we released last year, and then Mirror Mirror we released this year. As we go on, you'll hear it gets heavier and heavier and heavier as the albums go.
All those other songs are just sitting in the music vault.
They are, yes. I have about 100 songs from Circle of the Wolves that have not been released yet.
The cool thing with Circle the Wolves is that the band does have a sound that stands out. It's not typical.
No. It's kind of eclectic, I would say. It's metal, but it's not rock, but it's not jazzy metal orchestrated. It's crazy. It's very eclectic. And it's got my vocals, the nice, pretty vocals, and then you got the loud, crazy vocals too. So I jump around by doing crazy screams, and then I got the light singing in there and the piano, and so it's kind of a blend of what I did in Inner Me, but just way heavier.
And you do a great scream because it isn't raw.
Yeah,
it's smooth. It's is melodic.
Yeah,
a great example of being different is the album's opening song, Cages, and it speaks about feeling bottled up and wanting to break free.
Yeah,
but here's something I got to know about you, Shimmer. Have you ever felt creatively stifled?
Creatively, yeah. Everybody does at some point. I don't think I've ever run out of something to talk about in music. I always find a theme of the song that I want to do.
Well, it can't happen too often because you have 6 more albums in the vault.
Yes, I do, for Circle the Wolves. We have lots. So when you come to a Circle the Wolves show, you kind of get a bit of the stuff that's released, plus you get to hear some of the new stuff. So anytime you're in Edmonton, you should come see us at the Bar Chromosome. It's our new showcase gig here in Edmonton. It's one of the best sound places here. So we play there a lot just because we get video when we're there, and just the sound is amazing in there. And so we get to play around with our shows and try out some of our new songs that no one's heard. And it's just a way to, you know, just to get it out there. And it's a nice, small, little, tiny place. So it's like singing to 85 people. And that's kind of the max of the room. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, you know, over the years, I've met so many bands from Edmonton.
Yeah.
Now, the music scene must be huge. But does that also make it competitive?
The Edmonton scene, it's not actually as big as you might think. It's way bigger in Toronto or Vancouver. We have a few really good showcase rooms, but most of them like cover bands or tribute bands. So when you go in there with original stuff, it's really hard to get into the bigger places with original stuff, unfortunately, here in Edmonton.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, if you're original, it's really hard to get out there. So I do it through radio like yours to get my stuff out there so that people know I exist.
Well, hopefully this will help being on The Antidote.
Yeah, for sure.
I find that some of the songs from Circle of the Wolves can be pessimistic. But on I'm So Done, it does touch on the bright side. Sometimes when life brings you so down, just get back up and stand your ground. Sometimes you just have to scream out, forgive yourself. It's pure freedom. That must be personal experience talking.
Oh, yeah. Just things you go through in life where you're like, I'm just done with this. I'm walking away and I'm going to do something way better and way more positive than what I'm going through right now. So that's what I'm Done is all about. It's just about, you know, not giving up, just saying, you know, I'm done with, you know, negativity. I'm done with whatever is coming at me that's not feeling good inside. And I walk away from stuff like that. In the last few years, I've kind of developed that where anybody that's negative in my life, I will kindly walk away. And it doesn't matter if it's friends or family, you know, if it's negative and it's not bringing a positive mode to my life, I don't want it. And so I wrote, I'm done about that. I'm so done.
With the new album from Circle the Walls being titled Mirror, Mirror, it's left me wondering something.
What?
When Shimmer Johnson sees herself in the mirror, what does she see? Is it a metal diva or is it a singer-songwriter?
I like both, honestly, and I don't want to be one of those artists that is kind of pigeonholed into one genre. I want to be able to tour Circle the Walls for 6 months out of the year and then jump on to another tour doing adult contemporary pop stuff. So I want to be able to do both. And I know that's really weird. Lots of the big record labels and stuff, you know, they think you should stick to one specific genre. And I want to be different that way. And I want to be able to do whatever genre I want, whether it be country or rock or pop or metal. I want to be able to jump around and enjoy music in general, because that's kind of how I've always been my entire life. I like all genres.
Then that means you've cut yourself out of being with a record label and you're okay with that.
Yeah, I'm independent right now. I mean, if a major came and said, I want to sign your rock stuff, I mean, I'm not going to probably say no. I'll just focus on that. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to continue writing my pop stuff or writing my adult contemporary stuff or my country stuff. Well, if I got signed to a major label, of course, I mean, that would be amazing. But in the same sense, I'm enjoying being independent and being able to release what I like when I like and perform the styles whenever I want, right? So.
Got it. Well, I suppose I should close up the antidote with the title track, Mirror, Mirror. Shimmer, it's been great having you here. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. And thanks everybody for listening. Have a great and awesome day.